Mr. Bambury, I wanted to ask you as well, what exactly is the Israeli grand plan, if I may call it that, vis-a-vis Gaza? Is it that the unity government that has been spoken about, that has been formed of technocrats, is that a threat? What exactly is Israel's mission by escalating this violence against Gaza?
Firstly, they want to put pressure on Abbas to break the unity government. Secondly, there is a debate in Israel whether they should go into Gaza and really destroy Hamas. Some are arguing that actually if they destroy Hamas, something else could come which might be worse for Israel. But it seems there's a serious section of opinion in the Israeli establishment around Netanyahu who seems to believe that they could go into Gaza and destroy Hamas. I think there's something else which our correspondent said here, is that I think Netanyahu is in a much weaker position in one sense, because internationally, Israel does not have the kind of support it will once have had. People have seen the atrocities being carried out in Gaza and elsewhere. For instance, here in Britain, from where I'm speaking, there has been a sea change in public opinion about Israel. Well, once back in 1967, in the days of the Six-Day War, the majority of people in Britain were supporting Israel. It's exactly the opposite. So I think the Netanyahu government is weak. It doesn't quite know what the Americans want, because the Americans are weak, so it's confused over this. And there is a serious debate going on with the Zionists. But because they are weak, it does not make them less vicious. It makes them more vicious. Because the one thing they understand is that they need to rally behind the Israeli state in taking military action. And whether you're a liberal, a left-wing, or anywhere else in Israel, you will back the off state against the Arab population, because that is the basis of Zionism.
Mr. Glenn, I wanted to ask you about that, in fact. It seems that every time there is a further Israeli aggression against the Gaza Strip or Palestinians in general, it seems that there is more of an awakening and more of an awareness worldwide amongst people on the streets and those who do refer to alternative media such as Press TV or others. Do you believe then that there is, in fact, some sort of an awakening going on at this point vis-a-vis the people, not necessarily the governments? Of course, as we've seen, Arab governments have remained quite muted on this aggression.
Yeah, there's no question about it that the sleeping pill is beginning to wear off, and people around the world, even if not, we wouldn't include the people of the United States, obviously, because in this country, even though we do have something of a growing number of people who are becoming aware of the Middle East situation, it certainly is not enough to put pressure on our government in any kind of substantive way. Yes, there is this growing awareness, but that does not, I would agree, and yet I would disagree with Mr. Bambury in this, in that Netanyahu may be weakened, Israel may be weakened in terms of world support and world opinion, but as far as consolidating their power, as he said, as Mr. Bambury said, between the right and the left wing, that really was the operation. I'm sure that Netanyahu knew upon embarking on this business that Israel was going to receive all sorts of condemnation, but what he views as a bigger threat is the splitting within the Jewish community itself. That in and of itself is what poses a mortal threat to Israel's continued existence, as when Jews are fighting with Jews. They can deal with Gentiles being opposed to Israel, being opposed to Zionism, but what they cannot stomach is having Jews arguing with each other. So, but as far as there being awakening, yes, obviously we have a long way to go, because our governments still are beholden to these people. These people control our media, they control our monetary system, and I'm sure that they have made it clear to all governments, particularly those in the West, that not only are there all sorts of embarrassing things that can be brought out that could lead to possible criminal prosecution of many government officials, but we have to remember as well that Israel does possess nuclear weapons. She has already made it clear that she is willing to use these nuclear weapons if it looks as if her precious experiment in Jewish self-rule is going to fail. And let's face it, too, Israel's not just capable, but perfectly willing to pull off false flag events such as 9/11, such as the attack on the USS Liberty, political assassinations such as we saw take place with our own president here, John F. Kennedy. And so Israel has a very, very big bag of dirty tricks that she can pull out and use. And because of this, we do have governments that literally are being held hostage to Zionism. What the people want is one thing, but when you have government officials who are willing to kowtow to blackmail and to threats, then what can the people do? All they can do is go out into the street, unfortunately, and make noise.
And picking up on the last point, Mr. Bambury, I wanted to ask you then about that. Will anything change, do you think, vis-a-vis this Israeli aggression until the government start acting themselves? Or do you think that the people power does make a difference and does put enough pressure to make a change?
Well, firstly, where are the Arab states? What statements have there been? What actions have there been from the Arab states? Because of what's happened in the Arab world, Egypt, of course, is more or less siding with Israel, as we know, from this hardware ceasefire proposal, a surrender proposal. Where are the rest of the Arab world? We can't rely on the Arab states. We never could. In terms of the Western world, of course we can't rely on the government. It has to be people's power because the governments of Europe and the United States are so allied with Israel. It's such a close relationship. At the end of the day, the only resource the people of Palestine have is to appeal to their brothers and sisters across the Arab and indeed Muslim world and to appeal for the solidarity in the rest of the world to take action. And the hope is that the sea change, which I mentioned in terms of public opinion regarding Israel in Europe and indeed North America, can begin to translate into putting pressure through grassroots protests on the government here to do something about this. And challenging also the media bias which exists in countries like Britain regarding this. My colleague is absolutely right, and you're right to point to the fact that Press TV and other news outlets are almost alone in telling the truth about what is happening in Gaza. We will not get that from the BBC.
And Mr. Glendon, I wanted to ask you, in fact, about the resolve of the Palestinian resistance movement itself. You know, this time around, we've seen Hamas up the ante, if I may use that phrase, when it comes to its weaponry that it's been using in defense against this Israeli aggression. How significant do you think that is as well? Because, you know, as even our correspondent had at an earlier date said, that it does seem that many of the Gazans feel that they are alone and they have to only defend themselves on their own through the help of, you know, many of these resistance states who are helping them, such as Iran and other countries, such as Syria as well?
Well, if we're going to go simply by the numbers, Hamas's military capabilities are next to nothing. I mean, we've had 200-plus Palestinians killed in this latest round of violence, and from what I understand, one Israeli who died of a heart attack. The Israelis laugh when they start hearing talk about these rockets. They laugh at the notion that these rockets pose any damage or any danger to them. They understand that all of these things that we're seeing on the media of them crowding into bomb shelters, and this is just theatrics. This is just Hollywoodism. They know that the biggest weapon that right now that the Gazans have that they can use is the power of the camera, the power of the microphone, the power of the media. What they need to be doing is getting in front of cameras such as those on Press TV, Russia Today, others, and pleading with the people of the world to say, look, we are innocent human beings. We are being treated just like we were told the Jews were treated during World War II. We are no different than those innocent people who were sacrificed by ancient civilizations that engaged in human sacrifice, like the Aztecs and the Mayans. That is all this is. Our innocent blood is the glue that holds this insane society to our northern border together. They can only be held together by killing us, killing our women and children. That is what the Gazans need to be doing right now, is getting in front of the camera. It's not like it was 20 years ago or 30 years ago, where information was sewn up and people really didn't have any other outlet to go and to find alternative news. I mean, we have the internet. We have people with smartphones. We have people on the ground in Gaza who are, reporting on things literally live as they're happening. So, in my opinion, the Gazans need to use that. That's the biggest weapon they have. The biggest weapon of mass destruction that they can utilize against the Jewish state is to show that they are human beings. They're innocent human beings who are being raised up as human sacrifices in order to keep the Jewish state alive. In my opinion, that is the most important weapon that they have, and that's the weapon that they need to be using. They need to be appealing to the Pope, appeal to these Christian organizations, and to say, you know, all of you out there who presume to follow the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ, how can you sit by and allow this to happen to us? You know, what is the difference between you protesting against abortion, you are protesting against the murder of innocent children, but yet you sit by and you allow our innocent children to be butchered, no different than what takes place in your abortuaries? This is what the Gazans need to be doing right now, is appealing to what is left of the conscience of the world, and I believe that it will make a difference if they do that.
And I wanted to get your final thoughts, Mr. Bambury, as well, on what Mr. Glender just mentioned. What do you see as the solution? What do Gazans need to do at this point? Of course, there's the resistance and it's the defense, but then, you know, Mr. Glender also described a social media war of sorts where they need to show their own point of view through social media and other means.
I think that is beginning to happen. I think it is happening. As I speak, as I said, here in Glasgow and Scotland, people are mobilizing in their thousands to come onto the streets on Saturday in solidarity with Gaza. And they will demonstrate outside the BBC in Scotland to protest against the censorship. But I think also the people in Gaza, one, have to appeal to their fellow Palestinians in the West Bank to break with Abbas, to do something about what is happening, to show solidarity with the people of Gaza. And I think secondly, they have to appeal to the people across the Arab world, and in Egypt in particular, to rise up against the Sisi government, which is demanding a mass surrender to Israel. Arabs across the world, and indeed Muslims across the world, need to be in the fore of mobilizing against, in solidarity with the people of Palestine, but also against those treacherous Arab governments which proclaim their loyalty to Palestine, but secretly support Israel.
Okay, we'll leave it there for now, but of course we do appreciate both of your insights. That was Mr. Mark Glenn speaking to us live via Skype from Idaho, and we were also joined there at the end by Mr. Chris Bambury, who was speaking to us live on the line from Glasgow in Scotland. Gentlemen, we do appreciate your insights, as I said, and of course do stay tuned to Press TV as we will keep you up to date on the developing story coming out of Gaza and the continuing Israeli aggression there.